All right. Good morning. I'll give you a few minutes to get on here. I'm going to put this on sermon audio also, just for, you know, the fun of it. Anyway, but move that over there. Anyway, so just some thoughts here about everything that's been going on with this whole Me Too movement. I've talked about this Me Too movement and this absolute 100% hate for masculinity. And make no mistake about it, that's really what it all is. It is an absolute hate for men. That's what it's about. It's a hate. It's not a hate for males as much as it is a hate for manhood. There is this movement that has been pushing itself for so long, and it's pretty much everywhere. Okay, it's pretty much everywhere that you wouldn't want it to be. And its design is to destroy manhood wherever it can find it. It hunts for the precious life to destroy it. Now, there are so many fronts to this. So many fronts to this that I don't know how much I'm going to talk about today with this. But there's a lot. So we could actually get started with a bunch of them here. And there is, it's satanic, first of all. It's a satanic attack. It comes from the devil, but it's designed for confusion. And I'm not going to get into the whole transforming effect of it yet. I'm going to save that. That I'm going to explain all in due time. But let me just say here that the goal of this is confusion. You cannot destroy a society. You cannot destroy an institution, be it the institution of the local church, be it the institution of government, be it the institution of the family or society. You cannot destroy that until you cause a mass amount of chaos and confusion. Because once you cause the chaos and confusion, then the rest of it will follow along. Okay? So you have to understand that's the design of it. That's the beginning of it. So you have to cause confusion. You have to cause a commotion. You have to cause dissension. You have to cause discontent. And the reason for that, the way that works, if I do that, then I can start to chip away at the foundations of everything, and I can destroy it from within. And that's how Satan works. That's what he does. And that's what's going on with this Me Too movement. That's what's going on with this term toxic masculinity. And I think that's kind of funny, the term that they use, but whatever. They call it toxic, like it's poisonous. Poisonous masculinity. Well, no, what they really are saying to you is that all masculinity is poisonous to a fatal feminist system. To a fatal feminist system, masculinity of any kind is to be rejected and to be hated. And I'm so sick and tired of people sitting around and watching this happen and not voicing their opinion. Listen, Gillette has to be the stupidest company in the world. Now, I realize that they're pushing for this Me Too movement to build their business, but do they realize that I can get a generic razor from like the dollar store and like a whole pack of them for a buck? I mean, But whatever. Some of the snowflakes and everybody else, they're going to jump on board this Me Too movement express here that's going on, this man-hating Me Too movement express. And there's got to be some voices of some real men that just stand up and say, guess what? I ain't buying your Fruit Loop train. I'm not buying it, and I'm not giving in to your stinking, rotten, fatalistic feminism. I'm not going to let your feminist spirit destroy my son and destroy my family and destroy my generation. There's going to be some men that are actually going to stand up and speak the truth to you and tell you what a real man is and speak it like a man and watch all the snowflakes around him melt in fear. Because that's what's going to happen. Anytime a man stands up and anytime a man does that, real men, and I'm not talking about being abusive or being mean or anything like that. I'm talking about just being a man and speaking like a man and they want to be snowflake place. Man, I see him in the workplace. I see him at the grocery store. I see him at the gas station. I'm like, are you serious, man? And I'm looking out there and I'm trying to find a man out there and I'm looking at them all. And I'm like, what in the world? What in the world are you, man? And I'll tell you, there's some reasons why. And there's also some reasons why. See, they have fundamentally transformed and changed society. I can't get into all that today, but I am going to get into part of it. Okay, just so you understand, I am going to get into part of it. All right? So you can understand exactly where this is headed, okay? You know, where this is headed. So you get a good understanding, okay, of all of it. So let's get started first with, well, how did this all happen? And how are we here? And then I'm going to get into talking about Gillette and the Me Too movement and all that. Well, basically, you have to go back really to about 30 to 40 years ago. And about 30 to 40 years ago, what happened was a great number of television shows, actually 50 years ago, if you go back, television shows would show the traditional father that would go to work, the mother would have her apron on at home, cooking and cleaning, and that appealed to American society. And the reason why is because American society was like that. I mean, women were in the home, they were caring for the kids, mom was doing charitable things for others, she was helping people, she was there, you know, at lunchtime, she was there at supper time, she was there all the time. She was there to prepare the breakfast for the children. She was there. The father would come home from work and he would be the man that provided and he would teach his children when he was home. And mom spent the most time with them. But when dad came home, dad did things with them. Dad led. Dad set down some order there and things like that. And all of those things were normal. So it wasn't until they started using television to propagate things and to push the feminist movement. Because in came the fatalistic feminist movement on many fronts. Evolution would be considered the starting of the feminist movement. Because once evolution was accepted, when evolution was accepted, then what came in was, well, there are no societal norms now. They rejected patriarchy, which, by the way, I believe in. I believe in that. I absolutely do. And I don't care who likes it, by the way. God made a man to lead. God equipped a man to lead. God called a man to lead. God commanded a man to lead. Amen. And if that hits your feminist nerve, good. I said it so it would. Now, here's the thing. Once you started down that evolutionary trail, you redefined the role of the sexes. You redefined everything. then nothing is sacred, nothing is normal, nothing is the way that it's supposed to be. Right? There are no foundations anymore. Feminism, fatalistic feminism, it entered in to society. It infused itself into society. The women's suffrage movement, go back and listen to my history of feminism, and you can get all that. But once that entered in, by the way, I absolutely believe that YouTube knows how to censor these kind of videos. It is remarkable how they do. And that's why I put a lot of my stuff on Sermon Audio, because it doesn't get censored there. And that's why I put it there first, because I know what YouTube does. I know perfectly well. They censored me for like 3 months and wouldn't let me do a live video because I hurt some snowflake's feelings, I guess. They melted on the sidewalk or something. Okay, anyway, if snowflakes get saved, they don't become snowflakes. They're not snowflakes anymore. They become real men, and they learn what it means to be a man. Amen. Anyway, so what happened was, is when feminism was pushed into that societal norm, it started to become where men were looked at to be barbarians, and the woman had to put his hand on the man and say, "Oh no, you calm down." Now that's true. Sometimes men have to calm down, and sometimes their wives can be a good blessing to them in that way, and you know, in certain situations. However, when there was an audacity that men had to, like, their daughters dressed up, like back in the 90s, in the late 80s and the early 90s, they would show programs where daughters would change their clothes, go out and dress like whores. And then the father would be upset about that, and he would try to do something. But the mother would be there to say, "Oh, just calm down. You know, just calm down." And a man was made to look like a crazy, psychotic barbarian. Not a defender, a protector, a provider, but some kind of barbarian that really didn't think much and that really couldn't figure anything out. So that's how it started to creep in, okay? It started to creep in back then. So you had abortion, which totally blew everything out of proportion. Said, well, you know, killing of babies. Because let me tell you something. Let's talk about fatalism. I can't think of a more dangerous place to be than the womb of a woman in America. I mean, that's a dangerous place to be, man. That is a dangerous place to be. And I would say if I had to choose between toxic masculinity and fatalistic feminism, I think I would want toxic masculinity in society. You know why? Because it's very rare that you see men like rip up their own bodies to destroy a child inside of it. Obviously they can't. But the point is that when they do that, it's a crime and they go to jail if they do something wrong, right? They go to jail if they do something wrong like that, right? You know what I mean? So when you look at this, when you understand this, you start to see that men are hated because women are exalted. The Bible says children will be their oppressors and women shall rule over them. And I made a statement on my Facebook page that I believe one of the biggest problems in politics today, women. Let me tell you something that'll make you mad. I don't think women ever should have been allowed to vote in America. I absolutely think they should never have been allowed to vote in America. And that makes people mad when I say things like that. But if you go back and trace some things, women are the reason we've had the worst presidents and the worst politicians in the world. Women. Go look. Go look. Yep. You better believe it. And that's, but you know what? Toxic masculinity. You know, toxic masculinity is hated today. It's absolutely hated. Why is masculinity hated so bad? Because feminism has risen so much. See, when women left the home and went into the workforce and stopped making babies, and when they followed evolution, when they fell for the same sin that Eve fell for, that if she would just come out of her head and she would just go and fall and she would just exalt herself, that it'd be great. That was the point right there that manhood was going to start to be hated. And any bit of manhood is hated. And they basically hate every societal norm today. Every one of them. And here's the reason why. Because if masculinity is true, masculinity, feminism cannot cannot survive in a masculine society. When men are masculine, when men are strong, when men stand up, when men lead, women have to follow. That's just the way it goes. You know what happens in a home when men become passive, when men are not decisive, when men are not leaders, then by default, women start to, even though it's wrong for them to. They do anyway, out of a means of survival. That's the same thing. When men any longer, see, men like it today, the way things are, a lot of ways they like it because they don't have any responsibilities. They don't want to take care of their wives. They don't want their wives to stay home. They don't want to have a bunch of children. They don't want to do that. And that's why you have today, you have all these white families in America that basically they're dying out. We are not, and Americans are not producing enough babies now to continue society here. Why? Because of fatalistic feminism. When you let women butcher their babies, you got enough sick men out there that'll go along with it. Yeah, kill it so I don't have to take care of it and I can keep having sex. Sure, that's great. Because that's what they're doing. When you do that, men aren't going to say no to that. Evil men that the Bible talks about in the end times, these men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's what you have today. That's part of the reason why we have that. So you see, like, you're getting a lesson. You know, I never thought I'd see the day where companies that sell products to me get to lecture me on what I should believe and what I shouldn't believe. That they get to tell me what I should do. I mean, bullying went on when I was a kid too, and my parents taught me how to protect myself. My dad put me in martial arts when I was 10 years old. My dad taught me how to protect myself. He taught me how to be a man and to protect myself and to fight back. And I learned to fight back. Well, we don't want our boys fighting. Really? I want my boy defending himself. I want my daughters defending themselves. But I actually want my son to defend himself. I want him to learn what it means to be a man. That, you know what? You're not going to be able to pass a law to get rid of all bullies. You teach your boys not to be bullies. And you teach them to be defenders. You teach them to protect themselves. And to protect the weak. If you teach your children those concepts, you don't have to worry about bullies. You teach them to stand up to them and protect the weak. See the principle? Then it works both ways. Why does that matter? Well, because number one, then my children protect themselves. Number two, they don't pick on other people because they're taught to protect the weak. They're taught to defend the weak. See how that works? I don't teach them to go run and hide to their safe place. Today, there's this, because of fatalistic feminism, besides the murdering and butchering of babies in the womb, it's tried to steal masculinity. And you have all these butch lesbians that are running around today that want to be men. Well, if you want to be a man, you know, if you don't want to marry a man, then why do you want to marry a butch lesbian that looks like a man? Like, I don't get it. Like, why would you want to marry that? Well, you're saying, why? Because your human nature tells you, snowflake, it tells you that you're supposed to be attracted to a man as a woman. And that's why you want to marry the manly one. See how that works? That's not very hard. That's very simple. See, feminism is way more fatal than masculinity is. Because feminism not only exalts itself and brings itself out of and takes a lady out of the natural place that God has for her and the way that she is created, but it usurps the authority over the masculine and tries to destroy it. That's why this Me Too movement is so absolutely dangerous. It's designed for when there are real people that are really hurting. It's designed to destroy those people and their testimony, right? It's designed to do that. So the real people that are victims don't get noticed, but all this fake victimization that's out there, right? All this fake victimization out there gets exalted. That's what happens. And then every now, if you're masculine, well, there's something wrong with you. You got to give in to the snowflakes. You got to give in. You got to be a little bit more softer. You got to tap into your feminine side. I ain't got one. Sorry. That ain't the way God made me. God made me a man, and I should act like a man. Amen. That's exactly what should happen. That's exactly what God expects from men. Now, so you've seen that front there where it not only destroys real womanhood, it destroys real womanhood, it attempts to destroy real manhood. See, you know why Jezebel hated Naboth and destroyed his vineyard, or destroyed him to take his vineyard? It wasn't just because Ahab wanted it. It's because she sensed a real man that wouldn't give in. And you know, there's a lot of Jezebels out there, and I've met a ton of them. They're liars. They're wicked. They're evil. They're deceitful. They come in the guise of religion. They come with a spirit of religiousness to them, and they act like they're God's people. And while everything you do is on their side, while everything you do they like to a point, you are like them to a very lovely song unto them. But the minute their sin gets called into question, they turn on you and they want to destroy you and kill you and lie about you. And a lot of this Me Too movement is the exact same thing. Sure, are there real atrocities? You bet there are. But now today, you have a group, you have people that just accuse men of things. They accuse them of things. And people in America automatically say, well, they're guilty. They're just guilty. Why? Because they were accused? Naboth was accused and he wasn't guilty. Jesus was accused and he wasn't guilty. Right? Think about that. Now, here's the thing. What we're seeing with this whole movement here is that it's an attack on God's word. It's an attack on God's order that he set up in Genesis, that Jesus reinstituted. God made them, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So what else is a part of this? What's the goal with this? I'm going to tell you what the goal is with this, and I'm going to double down on this when I teach on it soon. The goal with this is the Baphomet spirit. The goal of this is to merge both into one, to gender confusion so no one can tell the difference. So there is no more difference, and it is blasphemous to God. It is blaspheming God's creation. It is blaspheming God's order. It is blaspheming his name. God made man in his image, after his own likeness. I heard some wicked Jezebel the other day say to me, well, the Holy Spirit is the feminine, some woman, well, her first she started out by this, and this other, this one woman said on a Facebook thread, she said, what if Yeshua or Messiah, I was like, you mean Jesus? What if he came as a woman? What would they have done to him? I can't stand that stupid spirit. That is a dumb devil spirit right there. Anyway, first of all, I told her flat out, that's the most blasphemous, wicked thing you could say about Jesus Christ, who is God. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself for letting the devil take your imagination into places that are completely unprofitable. You don't let the devil take you into places like that that are unprofitable. Well, I found out that she is a devil, so she doesn't believe the word of God. And she said that Jesus wasn't God. And then this other lady come in and went, well, the Holy Spirit is the feminine. And I said, well, it says, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Said he. Says it again in the same chapter, he. There is such a hate for manhood. That feminist spirit is a Baphomet spirit that wants to take all of it together, push it all together, and make no differences. When you look at Baphomet, that spirit has male parts and female parts. They're trying to merge it all together. So there's no difference in the sexes. Why? Because it's rebellion. It's all rebellion to God's order. That's what it is. The whole movement is rebellion. It is hate for God. It is hate for God's order. It is hate for manhood. I mean, we went to that homosexual, stood outside that homosexual rally a year ago. I think it was last year, maybe. And, you know, those people talk so vile and disgusting, so wicked. I've got on video, prove it. These tolerant people. They're not tolerant. They hate the truth and they hate masculine. They hate real men. And nobody hates real men worse than lesbians hate real men. They hate them. They hate manhood. They hate it if men define what a man is. If a man leads his home, they hate it. They think the woman to be inferior in the sense of not happy compared to the world's women. It's not true, though. When a woman is under the authority of a husband and a God-fearing, holy husband, you know what happens? They have joy. They have peace and comfort. They have stability. They are stable. Amen. That's the way God made them to be. And you know what the man is too? The man is confident. The man is stable. The man his heart is geared towards his home. Why? Because he goes home and his heart doth safely trust in her. That he fears no evil. Why? Because that's how God made it. That's how God made it to be. But what do we have? We have people that want to lecture us. Like Gillette, the best a man can get. And then you spend most of the time lecturing men. Now, don't you be bullies, little boy. And lecturing on the Me Too movement. A hate for real masculinity and a Baphomet spirit that tries to tie it all together. That's the goal. And I'm going to tell you, I'm saving the next one. I think I'm going to teach on it on one of these. I don't know yet. I haven't decided yet. Or if I'm going to preach it, I don't know yet. But that's the real hate. That's the real purpose of that fatal feminism. It is much more poisonous because it destroys all societal norms. You know, here's the thing. We need more toxic masculinity. Here's why. If you do the statistics, most of these snowflake boys and the millennials, a lot of them, were raised by women without a father in the home. I have seen these young people where that is the case, where they had no strong father. They really have no foundation. They really have none. They are so confused about most things. Even after they get saved, they have to be guided and directed of what it means to be a father, what it means to be a husband, you know, what it means to care for someone, what it means to be a man, to stand up. I see most of these people that, most of these young people today, and they are completely driven by their emotions. Why? Because they weren't raised by fathers that looked at them and said, son, knock it off. That's not how you act. You don't have to suppress all your emotions, but you can't lose it. See, that's the difference. And some of these young ladies that are coming up were never raised by godly, loving fathers that loved them and cared for them. They never were. So these ladies grow up to hate men, and they think they don't need a man. And then they say, and then toxic, I mean, not toxic masculinity, but fatalistic feminism. Fatal feminism. These women try to say, well, I don't need a man to have a baby. Yeah, you kind of do. And whether you do it through artificial insemination, or whatever, whichever way you do it, you're still using a man, because you can't do it without one. But you see how it destroys the mind of these women? They go loony. We don't need a man to raise. Well, yeah, God said in the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore shall the man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. You do. That's the way you're supposed to raise children. Fathers are supposed to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It took a father to have it. You're supposed to have a father to raise it as well. That's not that hard. But when you redefine the wheel, when you spend your life, you're watching how, and this is how Satan works though. See, Satan works this way. The focus is on the Me Too movement, right? The focus is on bad men. It's bad to be a man. It's bad to be masculine. It's bad to have standards. It's bad to have a foundation. It's bad to stand up. It's bad to know right from wrong. It's bad to lead your family. It's bad to do all those things. Meanwhile, what's really bad over here is the fatalistic feminism that seeks to kill and destroy all men. That hates men, that Jezebel and Baphomet spirit. See, these women want to create men in their own image. They want a man created in their image. That's what they want. They don't want men to be men. They don't want men to lead them and to tell them what to do. They don't like that. They hate that. They hate it because they hate God. I don't care what religious package. I've seen Jezebels in churches. I've dealt with them. I've seen them. And that's what they're like. They don't want a man to rule over them. They don't. They don't want any man to rule over them. They don't want Jesus to rule over them. But they come in a religious guise and act like they do. But the dogs come and lick up Jezebel. The dogs come to eat up Jezebel. That's what they do. That's what they do. Look, the Bible has the answer for all of this. It's to return to God's order. I'm going to tell you that men have to start being men again. They've got to start standing up for what they believe. They've got to be real men. They've got to lead their families. They've got to lead their wives. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. They have to. Men have to. Men have to start leading, and men have to start providing. And you know what? When they do that and they stand up, then they need to direct their wives and their families and their wives to be keepers at home again. Mm-hmm. To be a mom, to raise the children the way children need a mother. That's what needs to happen again. And men need to stand up boldly and fight against that system of feminism, that fatalistic feminism that hates true women, that hates true godly women, and that hates all men. Because I hate to break it to you, but these women ought to go home and bake some cookies. They ought to quit getting into politics and leave the White House or leave the House and the Senate. We have so many women now that are filled with Congress and everything. And that's why you can't get anything done, by the way. That's why you can't get anything done. And that's why every man has to walk on eggshells, being scared that he's going to say something to a woman that's going to get him in trouble. That he can't talk like a man. In the workplace, it's the same thing. Those women are there. Satan has those women there, so those men can't just be men. You can't be man on man and just deal with something anymore, because you got to deal with a woman and her feelings, and if you step on her feelings, you're going to get in trouble at work. So men can't be men any longer. They can't just be a man where they're all working together and they're all men. No, you can't do that anymore. No. You do that, you're going to get in trouble. You got to deal with them differently now. You got to have a whole set of rules. That's right. But my feelings, Jim, that's right. You got to now at work, it's like you got to go through sensitivity training. I mean, for goodness sakes, because of all the women they put in the military now, these poor soldiers that they're in there, they got to go through this feministic training, this male bashing training. Well, I hate to break it to you guys. You're out there to you know, go over to a foreign country and kill and have to fight in war, but you got to be sensitive. You got to worry about the woman next. You can't offend her. So then you put men and women in close quarters together, and these men actually like, and women, flirt with each other. Well, of course they do. You put them in an environment that they were never meant to work in together like that. And that's what they do. That's why it was never supposed to be like that. If you'd have followed God's order, the way that society was even set up in the beginning, that everybody understood until this rise of this Baphomet spirit and feminism and evolution, everything really pervaded society. That changed everything. Look at the workplace, how the workplace has changed everything now. Everything. America is that melting pot of Baphomet Babylon, where now everything has changed. Everything. We're going to talk about that transformation, but I'm not going to do it today. But everything has changed. All of it. That's the way it is now. So now what we see is, if a man tries to be a man, well, he's going to get in trouble for being a man. And now all the world hates men. Now they're going after him. Now they're going to silence him. Now they got to be quiet. I'm going to tell you what, like it or not, and I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but you know the reason why people voted for that guy? Because he wasn't limp-wristed Obama. That's why. That's why they voted for him. I'm telling you, that's why they voted for him. Because for the first time in a long time, a dude just got up and like talked straight to people and had some spunk to him. He had some fight to him. Do I agree with him? No, not on a lot of things I don't. But does my manhood, you know, is it attracted to a man bold speech that is? Yeah. That's going to make any man be like, yeah, right? That's going to make any man. Because men are attracted to being to that strong language and that strong. I don't mean that in a sexual way. I'm talking about in a way that, you know, that makes me want to high five them. You know what I mean? Be like, yeah, that's right. Why? Because that's how men are. That's how men talk. Men want that. But when you see Obama, that's the snowflake generation president. That's the limp-wristed president. That's the one that was like the biggest feminist ever. And what does that do to people? They're just like, yeah, right. I don't want anything to do with that guy, man. That guy doesn't appeal to manhood at all. Strong leaders, people follow strong leaders like that are strong and bold. Women put him in office. Women made him popular. You bet they did. That's exactly who did. Why? Fatalistic feminism. Obama was there to destroy all manhood. And now this movement to destroy all manhood. That's what it's about. That's what fatalistic feminism is about. And that's why it's more dangerous than anything. It is the most dangerous. It is the most dangerous. You know, it's the absolute most dangerous. It is more dangerous than any toxic masculinity in so many ways. Because all a woman has to do is say something and accuse a man, and he's just definitely, he's guilty. He's bad. Men are terrible. Right? Well, what I say is men need to start talking more, stand up more. They need to show what it means to be a man from the Bible, what it means, and they need to be strong. The Bible says, quit you like men and be strong. Now, the only real men that can really be real men are men that believe God's word, because they're balanced by it. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's what real men do. Real men believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it's sad where we've come and how far we've come in this country. But it's not going anywhere, and the only thing that we can do about it is pray and preach and live. Live it. Be a man. Take care of your family. Take care of your children. Take care of your home. Take care of your bills. Take care of your responsibilities. Lead your wife. Lead your children. Amen. That's what it's going to take. And I'm sorry, but, you know, when I see, it's really sad, because when I see all these women being exalted and just totally coming out of their place in politics, it makes me sick. And now you're seeing it. Vadi Bokum just did a message. He talked about feminizing the pulpit, how they feminized the office of a bishop. And he's right. That's their next major, major goal, is to normalize female pastors. Why? Jezebel. That's the Jezebel spirit to come in and usurp the authority. That's the Jezebel spirit. It's exactly what's going on. That's what it's all about. Yeah, you got that right. They're drugging people up. That's right. They're drugging people up. And that's another thing. All these drugs that they're doing, all the soy, all kinds of stuff to feminize young men, everything else, and to change their minds and to get them young. So these feminists are teaching these young men. There's so many fronts. There's so many fronts to this that I can't possibly cover it all in one video, you know. But I'll tell you this. More men need to keep speaking up. More men need to not be afraid of the feminist movement or a bunch of lying Jezebels. And more men need to pray in their prayer closet against those Jezebels. I've seen them. I've seen them come after me. Because when we preach keepers at home, I've seen them hate it. I've seen them come after me because they hate this church. And you know what I do? I go into my prayer closet and I pray against them. And I will pray against them until God gets rid of them or gets them away from me or destroys their mind and takes it from them. Because they want to stop the work of God. They want to stop the church. They want to stop. They want to kill real manhood in society. And we need to pray against them. We need to pray that God saves some of them. Some of them are religious reprobates that have been around the truth so long and turned against the truth that God's taken their mind. and they'll never be saved. We don't know who that is, so we keep praying for them. But I'll tell you what, I pray they repent. I do. But this spirit is a spirit to destroy. It's a spirit to destroy, and that's what it's all about. This fatalistic feminist spirit wants to destroy all true men. Destroy them. And we need to be aware of it. And the goal is to merge them into one, male and female, Baphomet. So there's no difference, none whatsoever. That's the goal of feminism. It's not equality. It's to conquer. Understand that. It's never been about equality. It's been about to conquer. They want to overcome manhood. See, you cannot have any equality with manhood. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to say something that's going to make people upset. Men and women are not equal. They're not equal. Nope. God made them different. There's things that I'm not equal to my wife because there's things that she can do that I cannot do. You know what? Identical rights. One is a leader. The other is the follower. That's terrible. That's the way God set it up. Take it up with him. And you'll have a chance, Jezebel, at the judgment seat. You'll have a chance when you go to the white throne judgment if you don't repent of your wicked sins now. You'll stand at the white throne judgment. And when you're cast into hell, you can attempt to accuse God, but you won't be able to. God's right and you're wrong. Better repent. Better get it right. Better turn from your sin before it's too late. That spirit has pervaded churches. Churches are full of Jezebels. They're full of that spirit that hates real manhood. When a man starts to lead and a husband starts to lead, they don't like it. They fight their husband's leadership. They fight their husband's rule in the home. Women letting their children do things that the husband doesn't know about, teaching their children to lie, all those things. It's terrible. That's awful. Pretending like they're submitted to their husbands when they're doing their own thing and doing whatever they want. They come in the name of Jezebel and write their own name. Right? It's sad, but it's the way it is. It's the way it is in this society. So you know what? It's the way it is in the churches. That's why they hate it. That's why more pastors need to preach the roles of the sexes. I don't know where my fundamental Baptist brethren are or other Christians that are Christian pastors out there, why they are not preaching the roles. And I'm not saying all of them. I'm not exalting myself. I'm saying I don't hardly ever hear it. You don't hardly ever hear about them talking about these issues. It's like they've surrendered. And I'll tell you why. When they sent the women in the church to the workforce and they didn't preach on that because a lot of pastors had their wives pay for them to pastor. So their wife works full time while they're pastoring to build a church. Nowhere in the Bible. Not one example of that. But pastors do it. So then they get double offerings because all the women in the church work too. So they create Christian schools for women because for families because women work. See how that works? That's how it keeps going. And you can't properly preach those roles of submission, of love, of reverence, of all those things. You can't possibly do that, right? Because you're not following the order yourself. Pastors got to get back to following that order. Wives got to come home, take care of the children. And not, you know what? God preserved me in this church. God took care of me through all of that. I worked, and I still do some part-time work, but I worked full-time for 5 years. After that, I stepped out by faith. We separated from our home, our sending church. We stepped out by faith and served the Lord. My wife stayed home. She stayed home. She took care of our babies. We've got six of them, six children. She stayed home. And she's still home. And God's still providing. And God still takes care of me. That's because we believed by God's grace, not anything we did, but by God's grace, we trusted and believed God. I know others that are out of the ministry now that had their wives working, trying to build a church that was already there. And they had their wives working full time to pay the bills. That's not faith. That's not believing God's order. You trust God by faith. I've heard some men say, well, I can't bring my wife home from work because I'd have to, one guy said, well, I'd have to work 12 hours a day to make as much money as she did. Yeah. So what? What's that got to do with anything? Do it, man. Do it. You're the provider. Scripture never shows her providing. She had an estate and she had her husband's estate in Proverbs 31. But it was her husband's estate, and she took all the stuff that she made and like all the stuff and sold it, bought some more land with it, and grew more on it. But it was all her husband's estate. She wasn't working for another man. She wasn't submissive to somebody else. She took care of her home. She rose up early and took care of her children. You know, the problem is too many people want the double lifestyle. They want the double income. They want the extra stuff. They don't want to submit to God's order. They don't want to. Right? They don't want to do that. You know? They don't want to submit to God's order. Sadly. And that's the problem. That's another problem, because Christians' lives aren't preaching that. They're not preaching that today. They're not preaching the Lord provides. If we follow God's rule, if we follow God's order. I've watched it. I've seen people bring their wives home. They end up having like five kids. And God provides for them, gives them better jobs, gives the man a better job. He makes more money. I can tell you two examples, at least, maybe even three. Look, you can't have babies when you're off working in the workforce. Go listen to our video on reversing birth control, our documentary on reversing birth control. Go listen to it. Ryan and Erica's testimony. I challenge you to. If we get back to doing things the way God said, it'll change everything. But if we don't, we continue down this road, there isn't going to be anybody that knows what a man or a woman is. They're not going to know what biblical manhood is at all, period. They're not going to know what it means to be a man. It's going to be defined by what the U.S. government says, by what Gillette says, by what all these other companies say, and not by what God's word illustrates. I'm telling you, you're going to stick out so much in this world and in this country when you follow biblical principles. They're going to think, oh, you're a cult, you're this, you're that, you're all these things. Why? Because you're not like the freaky, weird society out there. That's why. And that's what they're going to label you right away. Even though everything you do is in the light. And you're not in the darkness. You're not having secret decoder ring meetings. Right? No, everything's in the light. But they're going to hate it. Because the Bible says we're to shine as lights in the world. In a crooked and perverse nation, the sons of God without rebuke. I think we need to start getting back to it. That's the reason why this has gone so far, is because the church gave ground. The churches gave ground to women coming out of the home, gave ground to women in the workforce, gave ground to daycare centers, gave ground to all these things. And in the churches, they gave ground to feminism, women speaking in the church, letting all these things happen. And then guess what happened? They surrendered it. So finally, pastors have surrendered all that. And they won't speak on those things. They won't talk about those things anymore because it offends people in their church. Well, I say if God's word offends, preach it, man. Preach it. If they don't want to get right, it proves where their heart is. Anyway, some things to think about for sure. But toxic masculinity the problem? No. Toxic masculinity is not the problem. We need more masculinity. And dare I say, if it would just spread through the whole land, boy, would we be better off. But what's spreading is this fatalistic feminism that whatever gets near poisons and destroys, searches out the sacred life, the precious life, and seeks to destroy it. That's what happens. So I think we know who the real enemy is. Anyway, for more information about feminism, I have a whole series on feminism that you can listen to. And I would encourage you to listen to it. It's on, I believe it's all on YouTube. I believe all the videos are there. There's also one on true womanhood. All that's there too as well. Listen, there is nothing more beautiful than a mother with her children, than a wife caring for the home and leading the home like that. There's nothing, nothing. There's nothing more sacred than a woman that knows her place. There's nothing more sacred than a husband that knows the worth of his wife as she stays in godly subjection to him. There isn't. There isn't anything more beautiful than that. There's nothing on this earth besides the gospel, the grace of God, which is the reason why. You know, and the thing is that men like me that stand up like this get accused of hating women. They accuse us of hating women. Man, I've got five daughters. I love them with all my heart. And I want them to marry men that will be men and love them, that will provide for them, that will take care of them, that will lead them. Men that will care for my grandbabies. Men that will stand up and be real men and defend their homes and defend their wives and protect them, provide for them. That's who I want them to marry. Because I'm going to look at these men, I'm going to tell them, look, if you ain't man enough to take care of my daughter and you expect her to go to work for you, to make money for you, you ain't marrying my daughter because you ain't enough of a man. Because I'll be a 70-year-old man by the grace of God, and I'll take care of all of them then until God provides a man. And I mean that. I'm not giving my daughter off to some man that doesn't want to work, that doesn't want to pay the bills, that doesn't want to be a man and provide, that doesn't want to lead godly. And my son, if my son's not going to stand up and be a man, he's not going to marry a woman either, under my roof anyway. If he rebels, and then God will deal with him. But I wouldn't let him until he knew what a man was, that a man provides, that a man takes care of, that a man loves, that a man leads. That's what real men do. And I've seen these men marry these women, and these poor women don't have men to... They married a man thinking they were going to change him, and that man doesn't do right. I've seen that. It's very sad. Very sad. Very sad to see. But don't you see that all these things are happening because we left Genesis, we left the order that God created and that Jesus reaffirmed in the New Testament. In the beginning, he made them male and female. God instituted marriage. God said what it was. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. By the way, do you know that command is still there today? And with fatal feminism, you can't fulfill that command. I mean, women will say, no, I don't want to have any more babies. I got to go back to work, and I can't take care of that many kids. I can't do that. That's so hard. I see these women, they see us out in the stores, different places with six children, like, I don't know how you do it. By the grace of God, that's how we do it. But we do it because... Lady, you're equipped to do it. God made you to do it. You're just not doing it. Oh, I couldn't have that many. Well, you can have as many as God gives you. And if God gives them to you, then you can have them. Right? You can have them because God gives them to you. So if God gives you something, he equips you. Anyway, so you see those things, and it's really sad. But think about those things. And there's plenty of... resources that I have available. If you go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, those are all there as well. You can listen to those. Type in about men, about women, about feminism, about the roles, God's order, things like that. You'll find all kinds of things there on that. Let me look here before I close and see who's on here. Wow, lots of comments. Okay, Sean Gregory, good morning. Well, good morning, Sean. Carl Winters, good morning to you. I don't know where you're at, but all right, let's see. Kevin B, good morning to you. Illiterate Inc., you know, good morning to you. Cindy, how are you, Cindy? Hope Troy's doing good. Hope you're doing well. Let's see here. Anybody else on here? The Underground Church Network. I know who that guy is. Did you see Mario's PT3M? No, I don't know what that is. I'm not sure what that is. Double Think Principle, Decoder. Okay. Hey, hi, Decoder. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Underground Church Network. I know it's not your real name, but I hope you're doing well. Let's see. I think I said hi to Kevin already. Peter Fisher. Men would do their job. Women wouldn't have to go vote. Well, that's true. I agree with that. Hey, by the way, always blame. Don't think feminism is a result. The reason why feminism has gotten out of control is because real men didn't stand up and put it down when they should have. That's why. It never would have got that far if men would have stood and been men. You know, that's the truth there. Okay, let's see. Anybody else on here? Frank, good evening. Okay, Frank, I don't know where you're at. Maybe it's evening. How are you, Frank? Hope you're doing well. Yeah, I'm glad he bashes feminism too. Let's see. Let's see here. Jim. I know Jim Wilford. Hope he's doing well. Let's see. Stacia. Hello, Stacia or Stacia. I'm probably mutilating that, but I do that. That's what I do best is mutilate names. Let's see. Wow, a lot of comments here. I guess I stayed on. I'm long-winded. Was long-winded today, and I really didn't finish everything I wanted to say, but I'll say more later because I want to talk about this again, but a little bit different next time. Nick Pallone. All right, Nick, hope you're doing well. Let's see. Lisa. Lisa Benowitz. Hope I pronounce your name right, Lisa. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they're a blessing to you. I pray the Lord would continue to use them. Jason O'Brien, hope you're doing well. Thanks for checking in. Let's see. Deborah, your name just disappeared. I don't know what happened. Okay. Somewhere around here. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I have heard about the drag kids. It's really gross. It's hard to talk about stuff like that. I really don't like to put evil in front of people's minds. It's just really one of those things that I've tried to avoid. But it is, nevertheless, it is the truth, and it's part of that feminist movement because it seeks to destroy everything. Cindy, okay. Good. Glad the Nelsons are doing good. Nick, I've worked in a hospital with many women who work to get... I don't know where that went. Yeah, I keep doing that. Sorry, guys. They said that. Yeah, I've heard women say that too, that they work to get away from home. That is really sad. Really, really sad. Really sad. All right, from Pennsylvania, Nick. All right. And some CJJPWI. Hi, you're from Wisconsin. Oh, Jason O'Brien is from the UK. Hey, that's great. Maria Perez, how are you? Hello, Pastor Jason. The feminist movement is really giving me a headache. This Me Too movement makes me sick. It is very disgusting. The Me Too movement, it is extremely disgusting. the depths that they go to and everything that they do, it's perverted. But again, remember, it's all to destroy God's order. It's to cause as much chaos, because out of chaos, they think comes order. That's their new world order. So that's part of it. It's all part of Satan's plan, you know, to do that. That's their goal. That's what they're doing, sadly. So we've got to do all we can do to bring the truth and to stop that Hegelian dialectic. Yep. But, you know, it's, you know, here's the thing, and I've said this before in a sermon or something. I don't know if I said it here, but Rebecca Ford. Hi, Rebecca. I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. Rebecca Ford. Yep. I didn't see you before. Hello. Here's the thing about the whole drag queen thing and the whole like cross dressing thing, Baphomet spirit, that whole thing. Again, I want to talk about that when I talk about the fundamental transformation, the transformation of society. When I deal with that, I'm going to talk about that, because that is part of it. Okay, there's a spirit that's behind all that. And it's a power behind all that. And it's because I want to cover that in one podcast, YouTube video, whatever you want to call this. I don't know what you call it. Anyway, YouTube live, I guess. But I want to talk about that, because they have a power, and you're seeing that power unleashed and you're watching it, but we're not fooled. And the reason we're not fooled is because we have a different spirit. We've got the spirit of the Lord, and God has taught us, and we're able to recognize the Antichrist. We're able to recognize that Antichrist spirit. So I'm going to show you that coming up here. I want to do something on that, and I haven't decided if I'm going to do it in a sermon or if I'm just going to do it on a YouTube live. I've not decided that yet, but I will soon, okay, as the Lord leads. But I suppose I should probably sign off here. I guess there's 24 people still on here. See if there's anybody. Ordo Abchel. Oh, okay. You know, that's true. I'm going to talk about that, Deborah. I'm going to talk about that in this transformation, okay? When I talk about the transformation, I'm going to talk about it, okay? You know, I don't know the difference in a podcast, guys. I'm kind of done with all that. I really don't know the difference in them, and I've not looked into it on what a podcast really is. So I would have to, like, look into it to see if it would benefit you guys and people out there to do that. I mean, my main focus is the church. So I got to go here pretty soon, because I got a lot of studying to do today and a lot of writing to do reading to do and all that good stuff. But yeah, he is sick. That dude is sick in the head, Jenner. You know, I wouldn't mind doing a Q&A. I really wouldn't mind doing some of that once in a while. You know, I've got to keep my main studies. I don't want to get carried away with a bunch of other stuff. It just depends. Every week is going to be different. Excuse me. And I don't have time always to do that. But, you know, maybe like once a week or once a month or whatever, I could do like a Q&A thing. If there'd be people interested. I don't even know if there is. I don't want to be proud and act like there's like a bunch of people that need to hear from me or something. I have a church to pastor and they hear from me. But I also, if I can be used to be a blessing to others, I want to lead people to Christ. I want them to see Christ, which reminds me to tell you here this, that, you know, listen, if you are stuck in this transgender, Me Too, feminist movement, Jesus Christ can save you from all that. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't believe it's too late for you. If you're under the sound of the gospel and it's piercing your soul and you're feeling guilty, you know, then, and you know you're guilty before God, then cry out to Christ. Cry out to Christ for forgiveness of sins. If you believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day for your sins, and you can have that victorious Christian life, you can have that resurrected life. I want you to be born again by the Spirit of God. I want you to be saved by the grace of God. Man, from the guttermost to the uttermost, Jesus can save. There ain't nobody too far or too bad that God can't save. God is able to save anyone. And if you will keep seeking Christ, if you are in turmoil, if you'll keep seeking Christ, he'll save your soul. He will. He is ever merciful and gracious and patient and long-suffering. If you will turn to him, he will save you. Go listen to a sermon I preach called The Gospel, which is able to save your soul. Please listen to that. And I pray that if you are stuck in that and God's dealing with your heart, that you get saved by the grace of God. Okay, I better let you go. I got some work to do here today. Lots of it. And amen. I pray God gives strength to the saints as well. And I appreciate your prayers. Please continue to pray for me as we serve the Lord. Fun stuff coming up. A lot of good documentaries we want to produce. Please pray for us that we would get that out there on the track distribution and everything like that. We really want to send these and put these in the hands of pastors and people all over the place to get them out. And once you watch the video,